Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to our next call, Transforming Anger into Movement and Momentum. And we are in the umbrella, underneath the umbrella of our sixth sense, center of insight, of intuition. Yeah. So I got some really juicy messages from y'all. And as always, if there's anything to mention at any time, feel free to type that on into the chat feature. And as we settle in for today's call, I'll invite y'all to begin here by means of breathing as you make your way to a nice, quiet, cozy place where you can perhaps sit or lay and be undisturbed for your session. Every inhale, an opportunity to receive, to call in, to breathe in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to surrender, to allow. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you and drink in its supports. And if any part of that feels pleasant or at the very least neutral, invitation to take a moment to receive that mindfully, savoring it. And just like you're drinking in this nourishment, the invitation is to find one more source of that. Perhaps scanning internally, you could do it externally if you prefer. And as you scan your environment internally or externally, allowing the gaze to land on anything that you find pleasant or at the very least, again, neutral. And as you land here, noticing what it is you like the most about this. And taking a moment to really be with that. Receiving this like the nourishment that it is. And as you drink that in and savor it, perhaps also noticing the impact inside the body. How does it feel to be present mindfully to this beauty, this pleasantness that's here with you, for you? Yeah. Invitation to perhaps even take that in 1 or 2% more. Beautiful. And know that this resource for you is always here. You can touch it on at any time that you like during your time together. And as we make our way into the session, perhaps once again scanning the body, and there's anything here calling you, anything here that's of interest, anything here that's a message coming through, and that might come through the form of pain or discomfort or challenge or anything else. It's all welcome here. Taking a moment to listen. And thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. And thank you to all that's gone into that. Oh my gosh, all the families, all the ancestors, and all the lineages that have come before us. Thank you for allowing this precious moment to come together in this way. And the deepest of thank yous to the land and those that have stewarded it for all of those years supporting our nourishment from the life that's run through our families, our ancestors, our lineages. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. And as we settle in for today's session, invitation to make any little micro adjustments you might need in your body. And allowing yourself to get comfy cozy here. And as we get going, we're starting off with lymphatic circulation through the areas that process our anger, our liver, our gallbladder, and their associated meridians. And as we drain toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, allowing that to move through the liver, the gallbladder. I'm actually going to run another one for two other areas through the cervical spine and through to that pituitary region, the brow chakra region. And as we work with lymph in these areas through the neck, helping to clean out anything that's getting in the way of having another perception. And through the center of insight and intuition to do much the same, clearing out anything that's limiting perception, perceived information through our insight, through our intuition. And as that washes through, linking all of those centers, the liver, the gallbladder, the neck, the brow chakra region, through to the lymph controller, the spleen. And as that washes through here, and links to the spleen. I have this image over top of it that I'm not quite sure of exactly, but it's the image of waves rolling and the surf looks a little choppy. There's a little bit more turbulence here than perhaps needs to be. The spleen representing our subconscious, I'm not terribly surprised that it's speaking in images. And with this excess turbulence, needing to run a cellular repair on the spleen just to help calm that turbulence down. Restoring these cells back to their fullest potential of health. And running the permissions. It gets to be smooth sailing now. It gets to be smooth sailing now. And then linking that into an emotional release here of irritation and frustration through all those little things that get in your way, that seemingly block your flow, that may be calling you to slow down, which we often don't really love happening. We're working with that. And as we release that irritation, it's coming off of the spleen, interestingly enough. And these are all the little hiccups that happen that block our flow on the subconscious level. And we might perceive them consciously as conflict, like, ugh, this again. When really it's our subconscious doing its best to protect us by means of slowing us down, to invite us to feel what's really here, to see what's really here. Running the permissions here, I can slow down and listen. I can slow down and listen. And if you're open to it, doing that in this very moment, welcoming the energy of slowing down enough to make even just a little bit more space, just 1 or 2% is more than enough. Although it may, once you open up that door, open up a little bit more. And as we work with that, it's cell repair day. We're running one more cellular repair, this time for the, if you want to think of it this way, the division, the wall, the little perhaps, it almost looks like saran wrap some days to me, that film that separates the subconscious and the conscious mind. And for some of us, it's a little bit too thick, meaning not everything that needs to get through is coming through as clearly as it could. And for others, there's distortion because it's too thin, and there isn't enough time for that information to really make sense because it's coming through too quickly. I got a dog sigh on that one, so I think I know which one is mine. And as we work with that, thank you, Roxy, we are just shoring up any excess or deficiencies alike here simultaneously and connecting it into the way chi feels. Okay, I've never thought of it before, but that sort of division between the subconscious and the conscious mind is like an internalized form of Wei Qi. And our Wei Qi normally surrounds our external body, bringing in protection, communication, and synthesis alike. So we're just doing that for the internal regions of the brain. And as that starts to come into effect, linking it into the prefrontal cortex, center of wisdom, of empathy, of higher power. Then running circulation of all the basic healing resources through to this area. And then we're going to connect both the liver and the spleen and the meridians through here for its role in acceptance and mindfulness alike. And those resources that circulate here, bringing in blood that carries our passion, nerve, our communication, lymph that again drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. And along with that, sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, and help us to heal, especially at the levels of our immune system and our nervous system. And with that underway, I actually see the prefrontal cortex morph into a portal of sorts. It's often said that this is the region of our connection to our higher self. As I see it morph into a bit of a portal of sorts, I just see that there's you, the energy of you walking through here to you, meeting your own self, your own needs, you providing yourself with your own compassion, your own self-love. And then I see that in essence forming almost like a loop. Much in the same way, this is getting a bit trippy, that if you ever stand like between mirrors and you know how they just mirror each other back and forth into infinity and beyond, perhaps. I forget the name of that effect. There's a fancy physics name for that effect. Paradoxical something or other. And it's mirroring much in that same way, you to you, as you take in your beauty, your competencies, your capabilities, your strengths, and what's possible here. And as we work with receiving that, there's a little bit of energy from that spleen and that liver going, I'm not sure if I can take that all in. Which is why we're linking them once again up to that prefrontal cortex region to support acceptance and releasing any old patterns of rejection, of self-rejection that no longer need to be here in the same way. And in particular, I see it laying down a pattern of self-hatred. And I see that coming through to both arms and releasing through the arms. And as it comes through, there's almost like these prison bars in front of the neck that just begin to roll open and allow for a clearer reception, perception, and expression, pardon me, clear expression of your acceptance, of your qualities, of you. And as this mirrors back and forth to infinity, allowing you to take it in one bite at a time, so it doesn't have to be all at once. and overwhelm the system. And then as we do this, running is cellular repair. It is definitely cell repair day. And this is on the patterns of suppressed anger. And even suppression of things that you might not even want to see. Things that you might be on a subconscious level shielding yourself from. And as we work with this, cleaning out suppressed anger through this region that's been in and of itself creating distortion, not allowing that clear reception, perception, insight, intuition. And with it, the belief system of, I don't want to know. And I actually see that linking to a series of childhood nightmares and those times where you got flooded with too much, too fast, and information coming in hot and heavy to the point where it agitated your spirit at night and didn't allow for rest or ease. And as we clean out that excess agitation through the system, releasing and unwinding any little bits of adhesive tissue that created through that pituitary and brow chakra region alike, and then it's linking into your permissions. And there's a few things happening here at the same time. The permissions, the words are, I see, and then fill in the blank with your favorite word, God, creator, spirit, whatever it may be, universe, love and light, divinity, Buddha, Allah, Jehovah, you get the idea. Whatever the word is for you. And as you drink that permissions in, feeling that essence of that which is eternal within you. And I see that as if we could open up the doors of time itself, looking at your timeline of your life and going back to when you were just little, at age 2. And here there's also another layer of suppression, thinking that you couldn't express your anger in a way that would be acceptable by the adults, the caretakers in your life. So in this way, learning to suppress and not need and not need. It's like, well, if I'm going to suppress anger, I also have to suppress my needs with it. I can just get by on less. And almost making it a game of how little can I get by on and still be okay. Because little kids are clever. They make things into games to make it easier to play with life. And as we unhook that pattern, also with it releasing from the solar plexus chakra, just a little bit of low self-esteem here. Around the theme of, I wasn't worthy of being taken care of. It was my fault that I wasn't taken care of the way I wanted to be when I was young, when I was little. Again, orienting specifically to age 2. And as that begins to move and release through the solar plexus chakra, helping it to be metabolized, digested, processed, and releasing through the intestinal tract any bits that no longer serve the system, as we link this through to the colon, also helping it to process grief, specifically around the theme of what it is you thought you may have lost out on life because of that limitation, that seeming limitation being present at the age of 2. And then I just see your little 2-year-old going like, oh, I'm sorry that I cost you that. Yeah. And there is some guilt, some shame here, which will just ultimately continue this same sort of pattern or cycle. So thank goodness this 2-year-old is here for us to see her, him, And as we see this little 2-year-old, perhaps naturally responding to a 2-year-old's energy, who is acknowledging that they did something that they don't think they should have, even though it actually was never their fault that they were put in that position to act in that way. So whatever you might say to that little one, yeah, this wasn't your fault. This was never your fault. This was not to be your burden to bear. And I'm sorry you ever felt like it was. And as we may offer a touch in the form of a hug or anything else that feels right for this little one, as we welcome them, that shame, that guilt, that blame internally begins to drop away. That sense of internalized shame, perhaps being recognized for what it is. Not that this little 2-year-old consciously took it on, but that they were perhaps injected with it from their family, their culture, their society. And as we take up the sting of that little bit of blame of thinking that we've even internalized it, when it actually wasn't even ours to have taken on in the first place, by switching that word from internalized to injected shame, it's a bit of a bold move. Yeah, well done on that 2-year-old for being ready to move through that so gracefully, so easefully. The little kids, their innocence, and that wisdom, so very powerful. Yeah, something to be hold, something in a way to perhaps even bow down to. Their strength, their courage. And as that little 2-year-old receives us all, I begin to see them, even at greater ease, softening into their roles of playfulness, of lightness, of bringing effortless joy to those around them. Even when it seemed like that may not have always been the case. And as that ripples through, linking it to the brow chakra, and allowing these eyes of a little one to peer through the center of insight, of intuition that they may be even more connected to than we are as adults. And allowing them to, with again their wisdom, their innocence, to lead the way. With this permissions, I see with fresh eyes. I see with fresh eyes. Linking that all into the 10th house, energy of achievement, recognition, outward self-expression, and career. How is it we wish perhaps to be seen in our lights of career or anything else that you wish to be recognized or appreciated for? And with that, running the permissions, you hold your head up high. You hold your head up high, for you have done nothing wrong. You hold your head up high. And with that, I see the healthy maternal ancestors, being the queens that they are, lead the way with their heads held high, walking in dignity, walking in reverence. Excuse me. Having some water. It looks like a couple of you might be having sound issues. Yeah, but I think I'm good on my end, it looks like. Okay, I'll carry on. And with this all now. Sinking into the belief system that good things don't last and that good experiences shouldn't come to fruition because of that. And underlying that, the pattern of rejection in the form of rejecting the good. before something comes along, some conflict comes along to challenge it anyways. It was like this idea of, I'll just get ahead of it. I'll micromanage pain by consciously rejecting it, the things that I want, the good things. And with that specific pattern here, needing to circulate nerve supply, specifically balancing serotonin, the feel-good hormone, and dopamine, which helps our focus. And as we balance those two neurotransmitters, releasing this idea that we have to feel good by means of rejection. And as we release that pattern from the serotonin molecule and its circulation pathways through the nervous system, through the brains, all three of them, beginning to rewire, running a hydration here to support that taking up of not just water, but joy, making it safe to experience joy, to have those good things in life. And then linking it to the energy of the liver and the lungs alike for boundaries, and the Wei Qi for boundaries. So, all of these liver, lung, Wei Qi, bringing in nice solid boundaries. So that you, as you have those solid boundaries, you can not just support that boundary, but everything that it brings into your life, receptivity of what it is you do want here. As it keeps at bay those seeming external others, perhaps in creating conflict or challenge that prevent you from taking in the good of life. And with that, releasing any expectations of this day, this special occasion, this celebration day should go like this. And all the stories and the ideas that we have about how life should unfold for us. Pardon me, itchy neck all of a sudden. All of those expectations just falling away without the need to have it a certain way, making space for the perfection of life to show up as it will, as it does, as it must. And even within that, there may be a different kind of a challenge that arises. As we let go of needing to control or wanting to be controlled by others' actions in the form of creating chaos to keep us safe with, there can be space for life to show what needs to be shown, to illuminate through perhaps the lens of the occasional challenge, perhaps the lens of ease, of laughter, of lights, of love. And as we open that up, I see again that same sort of like a prison bar pattern in front of the neck, beginning to move, but this time not just to the edges of the neck, but to the edges of the side body. And as it reaches the side body, these prison bars relocate to their healthy alignments. The side bodies represent stability. And these prison bars can reinvent their role to support stability without having to lock you in to a certain pattern or a way of being that creates excess conflict to make that happen. It's linking into the 12th house, house of releasing, letting go, surrendering, allowing, making space, peeling back the layers of who it is you are not, so you can more richly connect with the very core of you. Core of your truth, of your authenticity. Beautiful. And we're just going to give that a few breaths as if the body mind wants to just take a moment to pause and soak that all in. Not quite ready for a tap out, but not quite ready to proceed just yet. So, giving that a few mindful breaths, breathing how the body mind wishes to breathe. Letting its wisdom lead the way. as that goes with the processing that it needs to, the flow that it needs to. It's all linking into our centers of foundation, the hips, the legs, the pelvic floor. And it looks like they're all being impacted by the knees. I just see like the knees shaking and quaking with some old experiences of undigested shock. Times in which you may have felt like you were walking on shaky ground. And this is relating to adult life more so. And as we release those shocks, those blind sides, those times in which you had overwhelm of energy, releasing it through the knees as well as the kidney meridian, and unwinding any adhesions in the iliopsoas muscle that connect the low back and the hips to support that, making space through that pelvic bowl, making space through the hips. And then I just hear the permissions, and the words are, I am content. I am content. I am content. And with that, the pelvic bowl begins to soften. And I see a little unfurling around the last bit of the sacrum where it joins onto the tailbone, the coccyx. With it releasing a bit of rage in the form of, I have to withstand this or else, the rage that goes with the driving force to endure. And the pelvis was stuck almost in a pattern of stubbornness with that. Like, I'll make it through this no matter what, come hell or high water type energy. And as that releases, opening up again the capacity for flow. And there's a bundle of belief systems here between the sacrum and the coccyx. I'm just finding the theme of that here. And adding one more person into the call who dropped off that I'm noticing as my eyes are open. That space between the sacrum and the coccyx and this bundle of belief systems seems to be hanging on to a theme of self-rejection as it relates to how it is you experience your mental health and whatever it is you might be beating yourself up for, whether it's patterns of depression, anxiety, PTSD, CPTSD, whatever it may be, ADHD, all of those labels. And if we could replace them all with this phrase, perhaps a more truthful phrase, developmental disruption, meaning most of those things can be traced back to disruptions either within our own life when we were little or our families, our moms or dads and their parents and their disruptions that they experienced when they were little. It helps to imagine them as one thing versus all these different separate things and possibilities. And as we call it more accurately what it is, developmental disruption, I see the entire nervous system settle. It's like, oh, that I know how to deal with. I can deal with one thing, but I can't deal with, you know, the rejection of self and the criticism of self and the attack of self for a bunch of different things. So as we work with this energy, it begins to soften and it begins to become even more coherent. And in essence, it's showing how much it's been there wanting to be seen for the roles that it's played to actually provide support and protection when you were little. And now those ways may no longer be so necessary. So So whatever bits of those patterns that are ready to soften at the edges and provide even more stability, they begin to drop away as we run a seed tree here. And this will be impacting everybody's individual's histories just a little bit differently. As we bring in seed circulation of all those basic healing resources that I mentioned earlier, the blood, the nerve, the lymph, the chi, etc. Also following that, the D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out all the clutter that doesn't need to be here. What remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all of the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization. Getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking. Opening up to other possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration, introspection. They shift the underlying consciousness. Thinking of this perhaps as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And this CJ is going to continue for a little longer than I usually see them go. And that happened last week too. This one's also running for 3 weeks. And then I just hear, I was trying to figure out why we're all the way down here at the tailbone. But I just hear that expression, as above, so below. So everything that's been happening at that tailbone level, or that space between the sacrum and the tailbone, is being mirrored around that area where the sphenoid joins onto the basilar region of the occipital bone, and then through there into the spine. And that sphenoid bone is much like a butterfly or a bat-shaped sort of bone that connects all the other skull bones, hangs out right in the center of the skull. In a way, it looks like a little alien spaceship. That's always the image I have come to my head when I see it. And that the basilar region, however you want to say it, from the occipital bone, is the part of the skull bone in the back of our skull that moves inward around to the front of the spine. So essentially, this part of the back of our skull, where it circulates or moves around to the front of the spine, where that joins onto that platform, that sphenoid bone, is that region there where we're working here. And just like those developmental disruptions impacted there, it also impacted this area. In doing so, it's almost like it shifted the positioning of that brow chakra, the pituitary, in a way that's created a certain level of sensitivity. And if that has ever felt overwhelming or too much, it felt more like a curse than a gift. We need to release some of that intensity. And as we work with that, releasing the varying emotions, primarily based and steeped in fear, that came with that overwhelm. And then underneath that, a bit of anger around being judged as being XYZ, insane, neurotic, nuts, psychotic, whatever the words were, crazy, that you may have been called. And that taking a toll on that, I'm going to call it SB, sphenoid, basilar, region of the occiput. And that SB, for the body talkers in the crowd, they know that this junction is a very powerful spot where we work. And as we do so, it supports circulation and stability of circulation through the head brain. It also impacts our capacity to breathe in life. And in another modality, our connection to our breath also represents our connection to spirits, our connection to the universe, to creator, whatever the word is again here. And imagining that that adhesion in the SB has stifled that connection to the breath, that connection through this sphenoid bone to be able to move and groove and also connect to all the other skull bones, impacting connection itself, not just connection to spirit, but connection to fill in the blank. And as we release that adhesion in that SB joint or junction, releasing any old bits of shock within the patterns of the breath that haven't allowed for you to easily breathe in life. And it looks like it's also got all the way into the back of your airways, the structures in the back of that trachea, creating excess tension. And as we unwind that through this area, releasing anger, specifically in the form of rage, of fury as well, from the back of the throats. And the rage and the fury are almost as if they had a voice saying, I'm sick and tired of having to breathe around all this shit in life. If they could tone. And they're actually really tired of having to find another way, of having to eke through, of having to live by on less, of having to make it on less, of having lack, of having lack. And as we release lack consciousness from the back of the airways here, opening up the throat to allow for more easeful connection to, again, spirit, creator, God, whatever the word may be. And as that softens through the back of the airways, and as an adhesion releases around that SV joint, opening up the pathway of energy flow through the chakras, as well as through the meridians alike, as we look at all the different interconnections and pathways, and there's many, between the heart and the brow. And as we free up that connection, bringing in harmony now to this brow chakra region, to the center of insight, harmonizing your intuition along with that all. Yeah, getting to see what you really need to see without having to have any more, and also not having to struggle to see what it is you wish to see through all the noise, all the distractions, or all the emptiness or darkness. And as we support this expression and this harmonization of all things brow chakra, giving it permission to center within itself, and just bringing the brow chakra back into midline. It's almost as if it was falling forward. And with it, a little bit of an anterior head tilt or position going with it. Your chiropractor might call it tech neck. I'm going to call it your brow chakra got really heavy out front and got out of balance. So we're just going to bring it back into center alignment, making it even easier for you to carry your head high. Beautiful. We're going to take a moment to tap this part in, invitation to breathe and receive here. And as I was tapping that out, I could see it falling away, this idea, this belief system, my life is in ruins. And I saw it falling off of specifically the right side, the right kidney, the right breast. And we're just going to connect the right kidney and the right breast to realign them. The right breast, well, both breasts, representing nourishment. And the kidney, in this case, working with finding practical action, healthy nourishments. And as we connect these two centers, on the right side, we're going to do the same on the left. And then we're linking both right and left, masculine and feminine alike now, through to the very midline, bringing in both breasts and connecting them into the heart, connecting both kidneys into the sexual chakra, and just simply connecting sexual and heart chakras as they both work to support the immune system again in acceptance. And there's a little bit of excess and almost just like static inflammation that's in the way here. We need to run a body chemistry on any excess electrical activity that the body mind isn't enjoying, whether that comes from the Wi-Fi, the 3G, 4G, 5G, whatever G's we're on these days. Yeah, or even something as seemingly simple as the electricity running through your walls. Any excess electrical radiation in essence. And as that detoxes via body chemistry, and unhooking the belief system of I'm being burned alive. And this one's linking into when you were very first born and being sensitive to the electrical energy in the room. Again, whether that was electricity running through the walls, power lines outside, the Wi-Fi, anything in between. And as we release it from that point of life, running the permissions, the powers within, the power, my power, is within. And with that, I hear almost like sounds of like a machine starting to run again after it hasn't for a while. And there is some traction building up now of chi flow through the internal power, the internal, I hesitate to use the word machinery of something that's so human, but we could think of it perhaps this way, the intelligent electrical activity that's within the body that doesn't need to be confused by anything else out there, because the power is here, it's within. I'm having a partial flashback to that. Is it Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, where the power is always within you? I didn't quite catch the whole thing, but I just saw that snippet, so I thought I'd mention it in case it resonates for anyone else. You can fill in the blanks that I might be leaving. Then we're running circulation here of consciousness. Through the spine, through this antenna of consciousness, through the center of our, well, antenna of our connection to life itself. And then we're linking that all now to the entire lymph system. And it feeling stagnant, soggy, boggy, and uncontained. There's apathy here. And underlying that, there's anger, as if the apathy was put there to stifle the anger, as if the anger was going to be too overwhelming, so the body put apathy there to protect it. So we actually need to release both at the same time, apathy and anger. And as that releases through here, bringing in hydration and connecting the lymph system to the breath. The lymph rides in the back of the breath. It doesn't necessarily mean that you need to breathe harder or faster. It might actually be more supportive for the system to breathe just a little bit easier, bringing in a little bit of less tension to the breathing structures to support nervous system regulation as it does naturally, as well as lowering inflammation within the system. When it comes to the breath, for most of us, less is more. Okay. And as that begins to recalibrate within the system, linking it into now circulation here of the liver. And I think it's liver 14. Get the number that hangs out that point just below the breast, and this one's on the right side. And again, I'm seeing that same sort of a portal energy opening up. This time, though, it's for a release of rage, a release of rage around the times when it seemed like masculine energy was getting in the way of you being able to drink in nourishment. Perhaps even in the form of something as simple as you're enjoying a fantasy, an idea, a possibility, and sitting with it. And you might even share that. And if your internal masculine or your external masculine nature begins to shut that idea down, like, no, we can't make that work. That's not logical. Yeah. And all those times, anything along that theme happened where sensuality got shut down. Where joy got shut down, where play got dismissed as irrelevant or impractical. Releasing that through here as we run the permissions. Play is welcome now. My play is welcome now. My playfulness is welcome now. And releasing any active memories around the theme of punishment or being punished for doing something that you thought was just playful or funny or lighthearted. And maybe perhaps you like played, just as an example, a practical joke on an adult when you were little. And that adult didn't respond so well. Maybe they got angry or upset. Or anything along those lines, anything where we got into trouble for our playfulness, where we received punishment. And as we release the punishment piece, the playfulness piece gets restored underneath that right breast through liver 14. And the punishment, if you can imagine self-flagellation or beating yourself up. In Christian times, ancient Christian times, there's those stories of the cat of nine tails being used to whip to lacerate self as a form of punishment for being human, punishment for enjoying pleasure or play. And as we release that punishment from the back of the right shoulder and going down through even into the musculature, as well as the bones of the ribs and the rib cage, which are extra sort of scarred around the seam of needing to protect against the punishments. We're going to unwind some adhesions through here, bringing in circulation of all the healing resources. And as we do this, if you are in your family history, there was the experience of physical violence, physical abuse, of physical punishments in that same perhaps format in this region of the body, healing that too, and releasing any need to have your nervous system unconsciously brace and protect against play, against the lightheartedness in life, against finding what feels good, what feels fun. Yeah, and as we restore that sense of play, I see that inner 2-year-old begin to, as if they were like being a bit withdrawn and reserved, come to the forefront again, ready to be seen in perhaps their fullest power, a playfulness, an imagination they're adding on, an imagination. Good correction. Thank you, little one. So play and imagination, and we're linking that all right back up into the prefrontal cortex. Yeah, that's developed long past the age of two. That takes in, again, that wisdom, that higher power, that compassion, that empathy. All now from a place of playfulness. An imagination that fuels our sense of wonder and awe. It's being defined by that consciousness of taking in wonder and awe. Perhaps to the point where you become full of wonder, full of awe. How wonderful. And linking that all into governing vessel 21 in the center of the crown to find that healthy habit pattern here. As we restore this and reclaim this sense of play, imagination, and all that comes with it. Can I see the right shoulder begin to tentatively poke its little head out of its cave and be like, "Are you sure it's safe now? I can play now?" So if you feel called to it, you're welcome to even just invite in a little bit of playful movement through your right hand and arm and into the shoulder. And what if, just like little ones learn through play, we could use the hand that provides, the hand that gives. Being fueled from a place of playfulness. So it doesn't have to get burnt out, exhausted, feeling like it has to carry one more heavy burden, but that it gets to dance lightly, playfully. And then connecting it to the center of intuition, of insight, to connect even more deeply to imagination. What might be possible? How playfully could you provide all that you do for others? And as we link that one more time into governing vessel 21 to set that healthy pattern here in motion, linking it to, I just see an energy field slightly above as if it's your own personal North Star, your guiding lights. And as that comes into awareness, linking it all the way through to the soles of the feet. Cocooned, embraced, held perhaps in the energy of spirits, universe, creator, God, love and light, universe. And we're tapping here. Invitation to breathe, however the body mind feels called to breathe. And as that settles in, invitation to and take a moment to savor if this feels good for you right where you are. And if you wish, you can additionally call in those resources that you found in the beginning. And I have a song. It's called "The Power Is Here Now," fitting for today. And I never say her name all that well, but I played another song by her. It's called, and her name is Alexia Chelan. It's from the album "Just Before I Sleep." Again, it's called "The Power Is Here Now." Oh, that is not the right song. You know that song. Here we go. Breathing, receiving, taking in your power, a playfulness of imagination, of delight.
Power of love is here now. The power of now is here now. The power of you, me, is here to create magic on earth. The power of love is here now. The power of now is here now. The power of you, me, is here to create magic on earth.
Magic on. you for calling this work in. Thank you for calling this medicine in. And most of all, thank you for you. Such an honor and a privilege to share in this way. Thank you. Mwah. Sending all the love. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Looking forward to next week, y'all. As I sign off, as always, if there's anyone that would like to hang out afterwards, and if there's more than one, you're all welcome to hang out, and we'll just put you in breakout rooms, and I'll make the rounds. I'm going to stop the recording here.